Good Shepherd Sermon for Sunday, October 16th, 2016, Pastor Paul Tolbert. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make him known to others so that they too may share the joys that Jesus has won for them. Here's Pastor.
This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. You got a balloon when it came in. If you didn't, make sure you see me afterwards. We have plenty of balloons. I like to keep balloons in my pocket because they're handy to explaining things. And today you're getting something to help you explain something from God's word to somebody else. Maybe even a reminder for yourself. This balloon is kind of just like, well, whoopee, you know. All right, that's fine. That's real nice there, Pastor. It's not a whole lot you can do there. Okay. That's it. Stretch it maybe. Unless you put something into it. Oh, now see, I can do all sorts of things. I can do sorts of things with this. All sorts. I can have games with this. I can just bounce around and have fun. I can tie it up and decorate places. And that's what we're looking at today. We're looking at what God does with people, with his word. It says, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. We're looking at God's word today. We're looking at these 66 books. God's word. He owns the copyright. I can't change anything in here. All I can do is say what God says and then let God do his thing. Let God defend himself. Let God promote himself. Let God use his word to do his wonders, which he loves to do. What's the value of God's word? Think of that question. What's the value of God's word? It's God's. Value, hello, that's God's word. So God, who doesn't have a body like what he created me to have, who is without a, he is a spirit, and he chose to let me know what he wants and how he thinks and his attitude. And so he picked men and he gave them his words. In human language, the main two languages they used were Greek and Hebrew way back when. Moses wrote in Hebrew. Most of the New Testament was written in Greek. There's a smattering of other languages in there, but those are the two biggies. And those things don't change. They're static languages. They no longer are like English. English changes, you know. The word gay, when I was growing up, it meant happy. It means now homosexual. The word swing and a swinger was someone who went to a playground, went on a swing, and now it means someone who commits adultery again and again and again. The English language is always changing. It's called a living language, but Hebrew and Greek are not that way. They're static. So you can go back to find out, what did God really say? It is from God himself. And what is the reason why he gave it to us? He wants to make us wise for salvation. He doesn't want to make us just smart and have us win all the trivia contests on Bible trivia contest pages and stuff like that. No. God wants to make us wise for salvation. And what does that mean? That's one of those $10 confirmation words. Salvation is what? Well, you're saved. Well, what is that? Picture in your mind a boat in the middle of an ocean. Picture in your mind that someone comes and kicks you off that boat. And maybe you're a really good swimmer. Maybe you can swim quite a distance, but you're in the middle of the ocean. And you know as that boat is sailing off that you're going to drown. Unless someone reaches down and picks you up before you go down for that last time. At that moment, when that person grabs your hand and pulls you up, that is salvation. You have nothing to do with it other than the fact that you are in great need. You have nothing to do with it other than that if you left it to yourself, you would die. But God, in his incredible mercy, wants us to know he saved us. The Bible says he brought us out of darkness into the kingdom of the Son that he loves. Oh, that's why he had it recorded. And that is a tremendous power of God's word. It's not just that he said, let there be light, and there was light. It's not just that he said in the book of Psalms that he knit me together in my mother's womb. I am fearfully and wonderfully created. No. God uses his word. He connects word with simple, plain water and creates faith in my heart to believe him. He takes his word. He connects it with bread and wine at the Lord's Supper. And I receive all of Jesus Christ, all of his body, all of his blood, given and shed for me to tell me my sins are forgiven. So that when God, through pastor's lips, tells you your sins are forgiven, it is just like Easter evening. When Jesus appeared to the disciples and they're all afraid, and he says, what? Peace be with you. Your sins are forgiven. Wow. That is God's word. That's the incredible power that God has. Now, how does he want us to use it? Well, he tells us. It's God-breathed and useful for teaching and rebuking and correcting and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. This is part of our life. It's not something you put on Sunday morning when you straighten up your tie and look in the mirror. No. This is how you live and breathe. Jesus Christ lived and died for me. He came back to life for me, and he controls my life now. So that means I don't bear grudges. That means I speak kindly to other people. That means I pray for my enemies. That means I work hard when nobody's looking. That means I don't use my mouth or my Facebook page or my Twitter thing to badmouth people. Because that would be breaking and dishonoring my Lord's will. Instead, I focus my mind and my heart on my Lord who saved me, rescued me from all that so that I could be with him forever, so that he could bless other people through me. What an incredible gift God has given to us, this Holy Scripture. He wants us to come early to this, not to wait. He says, continue in what you have learned and become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures. I don't know how that happens, but I know that it does because God says in his word it happens. Infants can believe in him. They can have faith. They sleep through their baptisms, or they cry. But they can have faith. God says he creates faith in them with that word. So since God says it, I believe it. God spoke and the planet existed. God spoke and galaxies popped into being. God spoke, so it's going to happen. That's just how God's word is. Very powerful, used for good. There's something else that he says. Remember, the Apostle Paul is dying. Well, he's not really dying. He's not sick. He's not being tortured. He just knows he's going to be dead pretty soon. And so he says, continue. Stick with it. There's going to come a time when people will not want to stick with it. Stick with my word. It does not change. All scripture is God-breathed. You know what that means? That means that God tells us things that we would not know unless he let us know. For instance, God breathed into Moses. and let Moses know, oh, this is my name, the gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. That's what he breathed into Moses. He breathes into Job, and Job writes down, I know that my Redeemer lives, that in the end he'll stand on the earth, and I, with my own eyes, will see him, I and not another, how my heart yearns within me. He breathes into David, and David says, create in me a clean heart, O God. Forgive me my sins. He breathes into his apostles, and we hear all the whole New Testament. And when God breathes into people, you have to let it out. You know what happens when you let it out? I heard some of you do this before church. Yeah. You looked at my sermon beheaded time, didn't you? Because this is how it is. You can't keep it inside. It's got to come out because it's so much fun. People look at you and say, what are you doing? Well, you know, I'm forgiving you. Well, I didn't ask for your forgiveness. Well, it doesn't matter. What? How come it doesn't matter? Well, because God, my Savior, has forgiven me, and I am not to hold a grudge against you, so I forgive you. And I'm not going to hold a grudge. I speak kindly and I do my work well because God wants me to do my very best, because that's how God designed me to be, his own. I serve him. Now, we don't do this very well. We can all remember times when we have failed God and we have dishonored him and we have not spoken up like he already wants. But you know what? God, who is rich in mercy, has forgiven us our sins. God demonstrated his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And that is how God uses his word, to restore us to himself, to refresh us, to build us up. And then he says, all right, you got that now? And we say, yeah, I got that, I really do. And he says, okay, go out and tell somebody so that they can join you in paradise with me forever. You see, when Jesus lived and died and on that cross, it wasn't just for me, not just for you, not just for people in this room, not even for just those people watching online at this moment. Jesus lived and he died and he came back to life to remove all sins of all people of all time. And he says, if you tell anyone their sins are forgiven, they're forgiven. So tell them in his name. So let us live. Amen.